Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Are Born for This podcast with Father John Ricardo, Mary Guilfoyle. We're a couple of missionaries at Acts 29. This is the podcast where we talk about the Word of God and how it brings refreshment and transformation and renewal into our lives. Mary, continued Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too, Father John.
Although you've been in the tomb, sounds like. You've been
just waiting.
You went into the tomb just after waiting. Easter.
My goodness. So you and Albert had this little virus, and I think you still have it. I had a phone call this morning with a friend of mine who called and said, "Is this Mary?"
You sound like Betty Davis.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I'm coming out of the tomb a little bit. So my voice is a little bit not the greatest. So if I cough, bear with me. But, you know, Father John, can I just say something before we get started? Just driving here today and thinking about what we get to do once a week is such a joy for me. Like, I'm obviously not feeling so hot right now. But I just want to say thank you. Because it is always a joy to talk about Jesus with you in particular. And in this work that God's inviting us to, we get to talk about Jesus and what he's doing in our lives and witness what he's doing in everybody else's life. And I just didn't want to let this conversation pass without just saying, gosh, Lord Jesus, it's what an honor it is to speak about him and to be able to speak about him with you.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Given that, what's our topic?
Oh, how about this for a radical shift? So today's title is, You Asked for the Wrong Jesus.
You asked for the wrong Jesus. So let's pray as we begin. Yeah. Huh? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're so mindful, Father, that faith is not blind. It's a way of knowing and a way of seeing. And so we continue to ask in these days of Easter that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would continue to enable us to see clearly what it is that you've done for us in your Son, to see clearly who it is he's come to do battle against, to see clearly what it is that you're asking of us, and to wipe away anything in our minds which is not of you. Bless, guide, anoint our conversation right now. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, our reading for this coming Sunday comes from, gosh, one of my favorite books, Acts chapter 3, verses...
We should name a mission... Oh, no, we already did.
Yes, we have. So, Acts chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, and then verses 17 through 19. And if you're listening, you've already made note that we're skipping a verse. We'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. So here we start. So Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand, through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." Okay, Padre, where do you want to go with this?
Yeah, so why don't we set the stage first? Because so you and I are always talking beforehand about just sharing what the Lord's revealing to us as we pray about a passage. And this is how I preach. You know, I always linger with a passage, and then I'm just asking the Lord to speak to me. And one of the ways that I try to prepare for that is I go to the scripture and read the context. So you'll remember I always have the Bible with me when I preach, as opposed to a missal, because a missal doesn't have the whole scripture there. But having a Bible in my hand, I can read the whole text if I need to, or jump around from text to text. So one of the things I hope we're trying to help encourage people to do every week is go find this passage in scripture and note the context. So, you know, the first question in my mind would be, who are the people Peter's talking to? Like, what is this just some random selection of words that Peter said, or who? What's the context here? And you alluded to the fact that verse 16 was omitted. Can I ask you to read verse 16? Because that will help us get the context.
Which is so problematic. Had verse 16 not been removed from the missal, we wouldn't have to contextualize it, although you would say, yes, you should. You should read the entire chapter.
I think you still would have.
But it would help us
a little bit. So fill people in on verse 16 if they don't have a Bible in front of them.
So it says, and his name, by faith in his name.
That would be Jesus.
Has made this man, meaning the man who was healed, strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man, this lame man that's been healed, this perfect health in the presence of you all.
Right. So you just gave some context. So this is Acts chapter 3, and this is the description of the very first miracle in the Acts of the Apostles. And I would argue that's really important. So in verses 1 through 10, we have this encounter with a lame man who's sitting outside what's called the beautiful gate that leads into the walled city of Jerusalem. And he's looking for alms. So Pope Benedict has this, actually when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, has this spectacular homily on this from 1981 at a priest's ordination. And he's just helping us understand. So this man who I think, the reason why I think this is so significant is I think this man is us. He's a real man, to be sure, but he also represents us. He can't walk, which means he can't go into the temple, which means he can't worship. He can't work, which means he has no money, which means he really has no life. He's totally cut off from community. And what does he ask for? He asks for alms. In other words, scraps, a pittance, right? And as I was praying with this earlier in the week, because we had this passage last week during weekday mass, the story of the healing, I just thought, how often do I just settle for scraps? You know, I sometimes our prayer is just like, Lord, can I just get a break today? You know, I don't feel good. Can I just get enough to get by? And so he asks Peter and John at the beginning of chapter 3 for alms. And Peter pulls one of these like New York City things, like, look at me. So I love this passage. It's like, look at us. And Acts says, the man looked at him, expecting to get something. And did he ever get something? And Peter goes on to say, we don't have any silver and gold, but what we have, we give you. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the way Ratzinger talks about this is, this man gets the unasked for, the unexpected, the unrequested, and the unimaginable. Like, he gets his life back. That's what God does for us. That's why I think this is such an emblematic miracle to set the stage for all of Acts. God has become man, gone to the cross, defeated sin, death, Satan, and in the process has given us our lives back. And I'm going to ask you, because you had a beautiful insight on who it is who's the instrument of the healing here. This is the mission of the disciple. Like, one of our tasks as Christians is to go out and to offer those around us who are like the lame man
what we have.
What we have, the unasked for, the unexpected, the unimaginable. And I think your insight on Peter is so powerful, because what often holds us back is, well, I can't do that. Who am I to do that? Well, who was Peter?
Well, I think part of the reason we say we can't do that, there's a number of reasons we feel like we can't do that. In this particular context, I think it's because our sin holds us back. And so as I was praying with the scripture, I mean, I was just really struck by the word, underscored the word denied, where he's talking to the Jews and he's saying, you denied the holy and righteous one.
Peter is, right? Peter's saying that? Yeah.
Peter's saying that. He's saying, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence. So Peter is boldly going after the reality of what's happened, right? And yet he doesn't lose his charitable heart. And what struck me the most was that just the word denied, it took me back to Peter's denial.
And he himself had done this.
He had done this, and he gets restored in the Gospel of John, we read about in chapter 21. So only a restored Peter could speak to another's denial.
Yeah.
And in so doing, he addresses those he's speaking to as brothers. And I was just contemplating, like, how beautiful is that? It's because Jesus restored Peter that Peter could charitably go before his brothers boldly by the power of the Holy Spirit, obviously, but could go before his brothers and say, almost like in his mind, like the quiet part of his mind, I have denied.
Yeah.
And he has restored me. You have denied.
Yeah.
So repent. Convert. I mean, that was just that just struck me.
I think what's so beautiful there is Peter's not condemning.
No, he
didn't. Peter's exhorting. Peter's encouraging. He's calling on, and he can do that because he himself knows how easy it is to deny. he's done it, right? And as you love this point, that's why it's just worth dwelling on, because what holds some of us back from offering people what we've encountered in the Lord is the very thing that actually should propel us forward. Peter could have said, you know, who am I to say anything to these people? Like, exactly I did right. The very thing you did.
That's exactly right.
And instead, because he's experienced Jesus' mercy and he's experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he's able to then go, guys, I get it.
That's right.
I know how easy it is to fall. I've fallen. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you about the one who picks up. And the one who picked me up is the one who empowered me to pick that man up. And I'm calling you all to stand up as
That's
well.
That's right. What he has done for me, he wants to do for you. And it's just so important for us to hear, like, we are not our sin. Right.
Yep. That said, that's the context. Now, maybe we can just linger for a minute, because this is where the topic comes from, or the episode title comes from. You asked for the wrong Jesus. The word that jumped out at me as I was praying for this was the word murderer. So Peter says to them, you denied, there's that word again, the holy and the righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about just a few weeks before this, right? You know, 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks maybe before this, we had Jesus' crucifixion, and Jesus' crucifixion is preceded by Pilate's, you know, magnanimous offer to the Jewish people of letting a prisoner go free. And so we'll remember this from Good Friday. Jesus puts, or rather Pilate puts in front of the crowds, two people, because there was a custom to release a prisoner during the time of Passover, because Passover was a Jewish feast of liberation. So the first person is Barabbas, and then the second person is Jesus. Barabbas is not a thief. Barabbas is a murderer. The word that's used to describe him is a revolutionary. This is a violent man. He's in prison for murder. Who's he murdered? Romans, Roman guards. But here's the thing that strikes me. In some of the ancient manuscripts, Barabbas has a first name. So Barabbas, you know, Bar, maybe we know, maybe we don't, is the word for son of. So that means there's something in front of this, right? It's like, I would be John, son of John. That's my dad's name. Simon is Simon Bar Jonah, right? Simon, the son of Jonah. Well, Barabbas means son of the father. That's what it means. The ancient manuscripts, at least a number of them, his name is Jesus. This is stunning to me.
So I have to tell. So friends, if you're, so perhaps some of y'all know this. I'd never heard that before. And I just told you before we hit record that if I were sitting in a scripture class with you when we were exegeting scripture, I would drop every class that you're in with me, because you would like blow everybody out of the room. I had never heard of that. And I'll be real honest. I went looking for that, because where did you find that?
So it's a footnote in the Revised Standard. Yeah, in Matthew's account, in Matthew 27, in the Revised Standard Version.
And it's not in mine. So I have the ESV,
yep.
And I went back to the Gospel of Matthew, and I did not find that in any footnote. I'm not a scripture scholar. Friends who are listening are probably not shocked by that at all. I just find that extraordinary. Why did that?
So it probably
why
gets
do you a, mention this?
Well, so here's why I mention it, because what's being put in front of the people and scripture is for us. So it's both a historical event, but it's a now event right at this moment. What's being put in front of us is a choice. Which savior do you want? So the Pilate says to them, do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas, which means savior, literally, son of the Father, or do you want me to release to you Jesus who is called the Christ, literally savior who is called the anointed one? And I think for most of us, unfortunately, we pick the wrong one every time, because Jesus Barabbas is the one who looks like he's actually fighting the right enemy. He's got blood on his hands. Mm-hmm. These are people who live in occupied territory, right? The Romans are the enemy. We got to get rid of them, right? Wrong. They're not the enemy. Are they doing unjust things? Absolutely. But they're not the enemy. And so Jesus, the Messiah, son of Mary, the real Savior, he's the only one who can help us understand who the real enemy is, because behind the power that is occupying Rome is another power, and that power is Satan. And Jesus has come not to be a violent revolutionary against human enemies. Jesus has come to do violence to the real enemy. He's come to bind the strong man. I think this is amazingly relevant for us right now. We're living, we say this often, right? We're living at a time of immense volatility, lots of angry rhetoric, lots of violent words, and unfortunately, sometimes lots of violent actions. And to be clear, there are some really significant decisions in front of us, and we can have really serious disagreements with people on all sorts of issues. But what happens in our culture, and it's happening in the church too, we demonize those oftentimes who do not agree with us. Jesus helps us see they're not the enemy. This is such an important point in the proclamation of the gospel. The enemy is not another human being. The enemy is Satan and sin and death. And we have to learn to see rightly, and we have to come to understand Jesus is the right Savior. In choosing him, we're saying, Lord, I acknowledge who the real enemy is and who the real enemy is not. Which means it's teaching me, like, how do I have disagreements with people? Because, you know, you watch something, you read something, you listen to something today, and it's almost like the person who's taking a position, even if they're not demonizing the other view, what they're really saying is, well, they're stupid. And we have to learn a completely different way of talking, right?
You know, you're spot on 100%. It is eminently relevant. I was listening to a podcast a few days ago, and the conversation was just about the vitriol, not just in the country, because it was a church context, but in the church itself. And I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine recently who got into some quote-unquote hot-button topics, issues of morality, life, you know, life within the womb, and how easy those conversations can just go awry because we can get emotive. We react rather than respond, and yet we can have some really critically think. We have to come at it with critical thought, but we have to come at it as brothers and sisters. And I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine. I said, you know, it's just so important as we go into whatever the conversation is to ask the Lord to help me see this situation, this person as you see it, or see this person. And you say this so often, Father John, especially relative to the enemy is the enemy, and understanding that there are some unjust things that we need to speak into as Christians, as disciples, but we need to do it with his heart. Mm-hmm. And so do we have his heart? And so those are just some of the things that are on my mind as you lay out where you took that conversation.
And I might add to what you say by saying, even if they're not brothers and sisters, meaning even if they're not other disciples, because oftentimes our conversations with people, they may not be believers. And even if they're not believers, they're that lame man outside the beautiful gate, right? And I have something to offer them.
Which is so much more.
I want to offer them back Jesus. Their lives, but I can't offer them anything if I'm yelling at them. And if I think they're the problem, they're not the problem. Sin and death and Satan That's are exactly the problems, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I was struck by the very last line in the reading, anyway, not in the passage, but in the reading that we get for Mass on Sunday, begins with the word repent. You know, so what am I supposed to do with all this? Repent, therefore. I think it's Scott Hahn who often says, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you should ask yourself, what's it there for? So in light of everything that I've said to you, Peter says to us this week, repent. And to repent means to change the way you think. And I think that's the exhortation to me anyway this week is, Lord, help me to see and to think the way you think about
everything.
Exactly.
Everything.
And maybe especially those that I disagree with. Mm. Help me to see them as you see them. Help me to remember you died for the ungodly, Lord. And that was me. Like I was in that crowd. And that you want to use me now like you use Peter to go fish for people, right? That's what he's calling us to do. And we do it as men and women who, just like Peter, have so often denied the Lord and been lifted and up and put on our feet and can go back and testify to his mercy. Huh?
So just that last thing that you said, put back on your feet. That was a thought that came to me. So the Lord picked Peter up and brushed him off. You know, begin again, right? Gave him his life back, restored his life. I was just thinking about the lame man, Father John. He had been lame from birth. He had never been put on his feet. He didn't know life from a standing position. Just think.
Ever.
His whole life. He was literally, God got him to his feet through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Peter. Gosh, wouldn't that be something if we could just pick everybody up and get them on their feet? And the reason that's even possible is because of Jesus.
Yeah, and we're surrounded by those people, right, who've been lame from birth.
From birth.
They don't know God. It's not their fault.
It's not their
Maybe
fault.
Maybe it's not their fault, right? And so I want to presume it's not. Yeah. And I want to, with just like you were emphasizing earlier, with Peter's charity, with his mindfulness that he's himself blown it, I want to try to put on a face that attracts them and offers to them the unasked for, and the unexpected, and the unrequested, and the unimaginable. The fact that God could use people like us to stand other people back up and to give them their lives back. What a gift. And this is true. This is what God's called us to be and to do. So do not be afraid. God is with you, and you were born for this.
Hello, friends. This is Mary Guilfoyle with Acts 29. Thanks so much for listening. If you're interested in knowing more about our mission, check out our website at acts29.org. That's ACTSXXIX.org, where you can learn more about who we are and what God has called us to do. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to Father John's weekly blog, Thoughts from the Trailer, as well as access the Rescue Project. We also invite you to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. And please pray for us and be assured of our prayers and gratitude for each and every one of you. We look forward to you tuning in next week. God bless you.